We're going to begin in Luke chapter 2. And I know we've been here already a few times this year, and it doesn't get old to me. The Christmas story does not get old. And these verses, these truths that are found here are very helpful. And I think something can be used tonight to help us. And I believe that Lord would have us to kind of tune into what He has for us tonight. So let's read in Luke chapter 2 and verse 1. The Bible says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, under the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." Let's pray and we'll get into it tonight. Our God in heaven, Lord, we're grateful to be here. Thankful, Lord, for the truths in the songs that we just were able to sing, and thankful for the truth of the message of Jesus Christ, God's Son, came to this earth to be born, to die, and not just to stay dead, Lord, but to rise again so that we could have life, and not just life abundantly here on earth, but eternal life to all those who put their faith and trust in You. I don't know the needs tonight, Lord. I know we've been blessed by song, but help us now to tune into Your Word. And Lord, that way our needs that we do have, that we may not even be aware of, can be met by Your Word, the power of Your Word, the Holy Spirit working on our hearts. And I pray this in Your holy and precious name. Amen. Amen. So I came across some pictures. I mean, you have Facebook. All right, so you get these memories that show up. And I guess that's one aspect of it I appreciate. The truth is that there's not a whole lot about Facebook that I really appreciate, but I kind of like that part of it there. Came across these pictures here. So let's see if this thing will work. There we go. I don't know who that guy is sitting next to my wife. But he's a good looking guy, actually. But I have some hair, not much. My wife hasn't changed. Actually, she's gotten more beautiful since that day. Score. Take lessons, guys. Chloe's on the left. Obviously, that's not Josiah in the middle. That's Levi. Where is he? There he is. We couldn't cut his hair for nothing. I mean, you try to cut his hair, a nice haircut, this kid wouldn't sit still. So you just take that. You know, just take the razor, the clippers, take clippers, just actually it's grown out there. He needs another haircut in that picture. But then Autumn's on the right. This is 14 years ago. And so Chloe would have been 8, am I right? How old were you 14 years ago? 8? Okay, we'll go with 8. Good job. All right. Levi, this is 2011, so Levi would have been 3, about to turn 4 in February. Autumn would have just turned 5. And so, obviously Josiah's not in the picture. Then there's this one. I don't know how well you can see that. I had 3 cute kids back then. I really did. Now I have 1, and he's not in the picture. Long time ago. There's a close up of him. And Levi looks like a good kid there. He just does. Autumn looks like she's enjoying her brother choking her. Then there's one more. Is that it, Brooklyn? That all we got? Hold on, let me go back. Oh, that's it. Okay. Man, I had one more. Oh, there. Where'd it go? That's Matt and Barbara friend. There we go. Yeah. Chloe's kissing her brother. I think we should reenact this picture right here, don't you? And get him up here in front of the piano. There's another baby grand we can put him in front of. And yeah. Now, the reason I brought these here is because this was the Christmas. You can go back, Brother Glenn. Actually, go to our family pictures just for a second. Actually, go there. This was the Christmas that we had a surprise for our kids. And it was a scavenger hunt. And I didn't bring the pictures up here for that. I came across and showed Josiah a video tonight. And he enjoyed it because he'd never seen it before. Obviously, he didn't live in that house. He didn't know his sisters and his brother when they were that size. And we had a little dog. He'd never seen that dog before. And but it was a scavenger hunt. Chloe could read pretty good at 8 years old. And Autumn was learning. And there was a few words that she would pick out in the videos. Obviously, Levi wasn't reading. But it was a scavenger hunt. And so we made the scavenger hunt, you know, specific for each kid. And so, let's see. I got one here. This clue is for Levi. To find the next hidden clue, look where you can smell Daddy's shoe. I don't know why my wife came up with that one. Should have said Mommy's shoe on that one. All right. But anyways, so it took a bit of coaxing, but he found it. All right. And then when he went in there, he found another piece of paper. And that piece of paper said this for Autumn. This clue is for Autumn. The thing that tosses stuff round and round is a place where your next clue can be found. And that was a cute video because she's sitting there thinking. And Chloe's like, oh, I know. I'm like, shut up, Chloe. You know, this is Autumn's clue. And he's like, she's like, I know. And Autumn's like, And Mom goes, it's really close to your bedroom. Autumn's like, I don't know, her fingers like this on her lip. Sandy said, it makes a lot of noise when you're trying to sleep. And Autumn goes, boom, right to the clothes washer. And she pulled it out. And this is the reason I showed the video, because there's some clothes in there. And, you know, it's not our house anymore, but I don't know if my wife would appreciate that. And it wasn't in there, so Mom said, it's next to that one. And so she goes in the dryer and she finds a clue. And then the next clue was for Levi. For Chloe. Where did Levi? For Chloe. Let's see if I can find it here. This clue is for Chloe. And it's cute because on the video, she's all kind of snobby about it. This one's for me, you know. This clue is for Chloe. Your next clue is in a clean, or no, your next clue is in a place known to need to be clean. That didn't flow very good, babe. And it's a place where your daddy sure likes to sing. How many think you can guess where that is? In the shower. The acoustics in the shower are amazing, I'm telling you. And so she goes there and she finds the next clue. And then this was all for all three of them. And this is where this was all building up, big climax opportunity. We thought that they were going to be excited about this thing. And we had the video camera going, and the video camera ended as they were reading this clue. The video camera died. It was one of those, you know, it wasn't on my phone, because that was before that time. And your present is hidden where you like to go, whether it's sunny and warm or starting to snow. Can you help us out? Outside. Who said outside? You cheated! You weren't supposed to answer. Outside. And so they went outside on the back patio. And there was this big, huge box taller than me. And it was really an unexpected present for them, for sure. They weren't expecting that. And the glow on their face, I mean, like, oh, yes. And so they start unwrapping it. And I don't remember, honestly, if there was a present inside a present inside a present, or if it was just a big present with we blew it, honestly. Let's just be admit it right now, or I did. I think it was another piece of paper there, and some other items that had to do with a trip to Florida, including Disney World, and SeaWorld, and just several different things. A trip. I mean, come on, right? This is a trip to Florida. This is amazing opportunity. And that was before I really, I'm not going to go there. But anyways, this was an opportunity of a lifetime. We thought they were going to be pumped about it. And they're like, Florida? Chloe's trying to pretend to be happy. Like, oh, Florida. You know? Florida. And Autumn, and we're like, yeah, SeaWorld. Huh? Disney World, huh? They didn't get it. They didn't get it. And obviously, when we went on the trip, and they found out what all was involved, that's where we learned of the best roller coaster ride on the face of the earth, and that's called the Manta. It's at SeaWorld. If you ever go there, it's an amazing roller coaster ride, and it is a lot of fun. And that made the whole trip worth it right there. But they were just so disappointed, kind of like you are. You're like, Pastor, you just went through all of that, and then you just told us that they were bummed about it. And they were. Okay, you can get rid of that picture there. But that gift was something that was a gift that they weren't expecting. But two, it was sort of one of those unwanted packages. Sometimes it's fun to receive a gift in an unusual package, especially if it builds anticipation and if it reveals a desired possession or something that you really wanted, something that you asked for, something you were excited for, and you got to open it up and it was something that you wanted. But what if that unusual package is an unwanted package? What if it's something that doesn't thrill you? Or something that doesn't make you excited? Because here's the truth right here tonight. Life has a way of handing us unexpected packages, doesn't it? And life has a way of handing us unwanted packages. The things that happen in our lives that we would not have desired. I don't know what it is for you. Could have been maybe the death of a loved one. Could have been a disappointment in a family member or a church member. It could have been a financial difficulty at work. Maybe it was a relationship that was broken. Too often, these things come delivered for you, but it's not what you wanted. First Christmas in Luke chapter 2 was kind of wrapped in an unusual set of circumstances. But it tells us that the surprises in our lives that look impossible, the surprises in our lives that look unusual, the surprises in our lives that are maybe not what God wanted in our lives, through God's grace, the surprises in our lives are oftentimes exactly what we needed. And so what can we do when we receive these things in our lives? What is it that we can do when these things happen to us? When life happens to us? When life happens, sometimes seems like against us. What can we do? Well, I think the first thing that will help us out tonight is this. That we've got to realize that the circumstances of our lives, the difficulties of our lives are always filtered through. If you're saved tonight, if you're a Christian, if you know for sure heaven is your home, the circumstances of your life, you can mark it down, are always filtered through the grace of God. Does everything that happens in your life comes across his desk first? I can imagine Mary and Joseph, when they heard the decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed, and in Luke chapter 2, verse 1, and it wasn't just the tax that would have been hard for them, but it was the fact that we talked about it this morning. This particular tax order was kind of a double directive, a census as well as a taxation. It wasn't just give us your money, but to best account for each individual. They didn't come to your door to door like America does, right? Every 4 years, and they come and they try to take a census and find out everything about you. But no, you had to go to a certain place. You had to go to the city of your lineage for these proceedings. And unfortunately, the timing of the census was the timing of when Mary was expecting to give birth to the Son of God. And the decree was issued by Caesar Augustus. Something interesting about it, the decree was issued by him. He ruled from 27 BC to 14 AD. He was the first emperor of the Roman Empire, and he accomplished several notable achievements. He established the first firefighting police force in Rome. He commanded 170,000 soldiers. He maintained the Roman roads throughout Italy. And all of this costs money. All of this required cash. And so, therefore, the need for the tax. And if you don't mind maybe using a bit of your imagination tonight as we look at the story, picture Mary and Joseph as they kind of hear the announcement. I don't know how it was relayed to them by word of mouth. Maybe there was a herald yelling out the decree or whatever the case may be. But all Jewish persons must report to the city of their birth for the emperor's census. The public accounting is going to take place 3 months from that day, and there's no exceptions to it. You kind of see Mary and Joseph as they're 3 months away from giving birth to the Son of God. They look at each other in concern, and just to be sure, they count off maybe how many weeks Mary has left until the baby will arrive. And just as they thought, the timing works out perfectly. The census was ordered for the same week as Mary's due date, and they just would have to do the best they could and hope that Jesus maybe would arrive early. But we know the story. He wasn't born early. And actually, he was born right on time. Amen? When the fullness of time was come. Mary and Joseph prepared for the trip. Mary gathered together items, including swaddling cloths, and they began a somewhere between 70 and 90 mile journey. Inconvenient? Yeah, absolutely. Stressful? No doubt. Frightening? I'm sure it was. But this trip was woven into God's timetable a long time before regarding the birth of his son. Often we're surprised by the frustrating things that come our way. The letdown of gifts. And when I say gift, surprises that come into our lives. Sometimes they're inconvenient, aren't they? Stressful, frightening, bothersome, difficult. But nothing takes God by surprise. In fact, when it comes to the affairs of his children, God often orchestrates behind the scenes. God always orchestrates behind the scenes to conform events outside of our control to his divine plan. 700 years before Mary and Joseph, this verse was read tonight in the musical presentation. We looked at it this morning. Go to Micah chapter 5, verse 2 in your Bibles, please. 700 years before Mary and Joseph made their way to Bethlehem, God had instructed the prophet Micah to record these words in Micah 5, 2. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. You see, Mary and Joseph had to go to Bethlehem because that's where it was prophesied that Christ would be born. He couldn't be born in Nazareth because then God would be a liar. Because God said he was going to be born in Bethlehem. They couldn't stay. There had to be a decree. There had to be an edict. There had to be a demand. God was working in the affairs of mankind, in the affairs of even politicians or or royalty, I should say, in the Roman Empire to make sure that Jesus Christ would be born in Bethlehem as he prophesied 700 years before. It was the fulfillment of this concerning where Jesus would be born. And the timing of this is fascinating too. It actually, the decree actually came, listen to this, about 8 BC. Corresponding with Luke chapter 2, if you want to look there, Luke chapter 2, verse 2. And this taxing, look what it says there, was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. So the decree was made years earlier, but it didn't hit Palestine until a couple of years later, around 5 BC, which was actually when Christ was born. It means this. It means that even years before Christ was born, God moved the most powerful ruler at the time to require a taxing, which would fulfill his prophecy that the Christ child would be born in Bethlehem. That's how awesome our God is. And you think if he can do that kind of a thing, do you think he knows about your situations and your problems and your difficulties long before they happen? Do you think he knows about the circumstances that arise? Do you think he actually might be involved in circumstances? Our obstacles are actually God's opportunities. And it's God's opportunity to show us that he's in control of all things if we'll trust him and follow him in those areas of our lives. Which gives a new perspective to this journey to Bethlehem. Was it difficult? Yes. But like I said, it was filtered by God's grace. Mary and Joseph, without a word of complaint that we see, traveled to Bethlehem. Here's the deal. Life is full of unavoidable circumstances. Can you tell me a time when God has not been good to you? Can you tell me a time when God has not been faithful? God has always been faithful to you. God's always been good. He always knows what's going on, and he's always in control of what's going on. But we can expend our energy, futile efforts, to change the circumstances that we come across or that come our way. And we can spend our time being bitter. We can spend our time stewing in resentment, continuing to be angry about something that happened years and years and years ago. Or we can trust God's providence in the midst of them. Even when things aren't exactly what we would desire them to be, we ought not to quit on God. Are you with me tonight? If our marriage isn't exactly what it ought to be, I probably ought not to quit on my wife or my family. And if my church, I know I'm the pastor, but if my church is not exactly what it ought to be, I probably ought not to quit on the church. We said, you're the pastor and I'm a Christian. Don't quit on God. When things get hard, when things get difficult, God knows. God knew, by the way, before you knew. God knew before it happened to you. God knew before you were born. So do you think he might have a plan in the situation? And so by us being faithful and obey and willing to obey God and understanding this truth, that everything is filtered through God's grace, which means God has grace to help in time of need in our circumstance of our life. And of course, you may not see his hand of provision for years to come. I don't know if Mary and Joseph understood the significance of their journey to Bethlehem at the time. I don't know if they understood that. Maybe they were quoting Micah 5:2 on the way there. Maybe they were. I think that would be pretty cool if they did. I don't know that they did. I don't know if Mary and Joseph understood that or not, but these were just two of the many people in the pages of Scripture who faced unavoidable circumstances and later learned that God's hand of grace had been working through those very difficulties all along. There's just two of everybody in the world, past, present, and future, who face unavoidable circumstances. What circumstance are you facing? If you're not facing one that you could put your thumb on and say, this is a circumstance that I'm going through right now, you're going to be going through one, right? It can come as quick as a car accident. It can come quick as the death of a loved one. It can come as quick as a health scare. Whatever it is, God shows grace through it all. You know, even throughout the Bible, people had difficulties. Joseph of the Old Testament, what happened to him? He was sold into slavery by his own brothers. Yet from his new location in Egypt, and even because of his years in the Egyptian prison, he was promoted to a position which was able to be used in his family, and not just save his family from starvation, but the continuance of God's people. David arrived at a forsaken battlefield as a 17-year-old boy with food and supplies for his soldier brothers. And this errand opposed upon him by his dad actually brought him to the scene of my favorite story, one of my favorite stories in the Bible, when David killed Goliath. I love it. Daniel also faced an unavoidable circumstances. He was taken captive into Babylon. He's ripped from his home. He's ripped from his family, from everything that he knew. But it was in Babylon that he saw God close the mouths of lions. It was in Babylon that God was used, that God promoted him to a position of leadership in the country that conquered his people. It was in Babylon that God gave him end time prophecies recorded in the Old Testament. Esther had unavoidable circumstances. She was also ripped from her home. She was taken, and she was forced to marry a heathen king. Early in her reign, the second in command under her husband conceived a wicked plan to exterminate Esther's people. And her position gave her the leverage that was needed to turn the tables on Haman's plan. We could go on and on and on about stories in the Bible of people who faced unavoidable circumstances and situations, but all those circumstances were filtered through God's grace, and God's grace was evident in time of need. And I'm just saying again, in another way, that the unavoidable circumstances that you go through in your life, you've got to mark it down and understand and trust that they are filtered through the grace of God. And it's through the grace of God that you're going to find help. Sometimes those unusual packages are God's most precious gifts. Got to trust His filter. God loves you more than anyone has ever loved you. God knows more about you than you even know of yourself. God knows your future. No. He knows exactly what's going to happen tomorrow. Every detail. Why would we not live for Him? Why would we not continue to be faithful to Him? Why would we not spend time in His Word? Why would we not spend time in prayer? He's the one that has all the answers and all the grace to help in time of need. So what do? Allow God to showcase His grace in your life. See, the presentation of Christ to this world was not the way we would have planned it. And I think we can safely say it is not the way Mary would have planned it either. But with the enabling grace of God, Mary responded. Mary could have complained, but she responded right. She responded actually herself with grace. She could have questioned. She did ask a couple of questions, but she listened to the answers in Luke chapter 1. She could have become angry toward God, and she could have said, God, first You make me travel all this way when I'm great with child, and now there's no room in the inn. I gotta lay my newborn son in a manger, in a feeding trough. Can I at least have a comfortable room, clean surroundings? Why would You do this to me? Joseph could have easily been able to justify some anger, maybe. Lord, I never would have planned it this way, ever. I wanted to make it comfortable for Mary. I wanted to provide for her. Yet from every angle, this pregnancy and birth has been too much for me to handle. Could have said, I'm done. Here's the deal. What life does to us often depends on what life finds in us. Life doesn't have to happen to you the way that it does. Life's going to happen to you. Circumstances are going to happen to you. But the way you respond is dependent upon not what happens to you, but what is in you. You have the Holy Spirit living within you. Amen? You're saved. Mary and Joseph received this incredible gift of Jesus. No expectations of how all this was going to come about. They deflected the attention from themselves to the manger. And that's what we've got to do. Listen, when life happens to you, when there's unavoidable circumstances and packages that are unwanted or unusual, deflect. Would you deflect the attention from yourself to God? It's not about you. It's about God. Just kind of go back here. We're about done. Go back to pre-Bethlehem. Luke chapter 1, verse 46. Well, think about why God was willing to give Mary this unusual package. Why was Mary the recipient of this? Special gift. I would guess that there were probably other Jewish girls who might have fit the requirements of purity for being the earthly mother of Christ. Mary wasn't perfect. She was a sinner. We don't pray to Mary. The Bible doesn't teach us that. But Scripture never tells us all the details, but I do want you to look at Luke chapter 1, verse 46. Where it says this, Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." She acknowledged this. She acknowledged her need of a Savior. You see that? And then Gabriel told her in Luke 1:28 that she was highly favored. And the angel came in to her and said, "Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women." Why did God choose Mary? The complete answer to that question is known only by God. But it is significant that Mary was willing. Well, here's what's significant. Mary truly submitted. This was something that Mary took on to receive this. In some ways, this would have been a heavy gift. Hard to carry. There would have been a great cost involved for her. But she yielded to God. She bore the cost. She cherished the gift that God had given her. Mary actually had a few strikes against her. Or humans would consider strikes against her. She was poor. She was engaged to a poor man. She wasn't popular or influential. Her hometown of Nazareth was disdained for its rough citizens and lack of influence. Here's the deal. God isn't looking for the strong. Are you listening tonight? God isn't looking for the multi-talented or searching for the famous. Here's the deal. He gives these unusual packages. He gives it to you and you alone. He's given you his most precious gift, unusually wrapped, sure, but to somebody who will simply yield to his will. Are you yielded to his will? See, our problem is that we see what looks to us as distasteful and something we can't be excited about. Something that is just kind of a letdown. Get outside and there's this big package out there and you start ripping the paper off and you open the box and what's this piece of paper? Florida. What's Florida? Oh, you'll see. We look at these things as distasteful wrapping. In our selfishness, we plead with God to take back what he's given us. Not so with Mary. Look what she said in Luke 1:38. And Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." That's what she said. The most popular prayer, somebody said, is thy will be changed. But the greatest prayer is thy will be done. Jesus said that. And that's essentially what Mary said here. But what about you? Are you staggering? Are you struggling? You're dealing with a situation that's unexpected. You're struggling to understand the circumstances that come in your life. Are you disappointed with the harsh realities? Life has let you down. You had unreasonable expectations. Crushed dreams. Life didn't play out the way you thought it would. If that's the case, would you just kind of look at the story in Bethlehem and just kind of watch this young mother and Joseph and look how they traveled and then where they gave birth and a crude manger, and sure, it was probably wiped down but dirty nonetheless, and it's these things that they went through. Just kind of look beyond that and then see God behind it all. And that's what I'm trying to get you to do. Look beyond your circumstances and see God behind it all. And understand He's in control of all that's going on in your life. The gift of grace. Would you quote Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 with me if you know it? Ready to begin. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And that is such an awesome truth, and I'm very grateful for that, no doubt. If you're saved tonight, say amen. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, though, you can be saved tonight. Know that grace. But if you are saved, it's also grace that can help you in your time of need. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Then it goes on to tell us that we can go unto the throne of grace and find grace to help in time of need. Are you in need tonight? And find that grace.